News Team Coverage, 94.9 WSJM News Now.
This is the WSJM News Week in Review for March 22nd, 2019. I'm Michael Arney. The suspect in a 33-year-old murder in Bangor who once called himself the Night Stalker is now charged with that killing. 51-year-old Michael Curry reportedly confessed. In fact, he's confessed several times, dating back to right around the time of the crime. Waived extradition is being held without bond. He was arraigned Monday afternoon on a homicide charge. Michigan State Police Detective Lieutenant Shane Krieger says Curry is charged with the 1986 strangulation death of his neighbor, Wilda Wilkinson.
She was she didn't show up for work. Somebody called her daughter to go and check on her, and her daughter's actually the one that found her.
Curry was 18 at the time. He lived nearby, was one of several suspects identified in the initial investigation.
He was arraigned with no bond because he just got out of prison 4 years ago for an attempted murder.
3 years after the Wilkinson murder, Detective Krieger says Curry was arrested for savagely beating his roommate nearly to death. During a call with an operator after that crime, he claimed to be the Night Stalker and the nickname that he gave himself. Apparently, police didn't believe him or thought he was looking for attention when he confessed multiple times in the 80s to the murder of Wilkinson. Bent Harbor residents being asked to speak up when they see somebody illegally dumping trash in the city. This week, at the City Commission meeting, Public Safety Director Dan McGinnis said enforcement to crack down on the issue is increasing.
We're going to be asking the citizens to help us. We're going to go door-to-door in the super affected areas with a dumping contact number, tip line.
Says tires and mattresses are a particular problem.
So I think people are fed up with the dumping. Our town looks absolutely atrocious. We want to clean it up. We're committed to it.
McGinnis says he's meeting with the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality coming up to see if they can help find the source of some of the tires. Anybody with a tip can call the Department of Public Safety. Cornerstone Alliance President Rob Cleveland making some waves with a tax incentive he's proposed for Michigan. Cleveland tells us he was having a discussion with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation about how to slow brain drain in the state, but he came up with what he's calling the huge credit.
It's all driven around the fact that we need to find a way to keep young people in the state of Michigan. We need to make sure we keep the ones that live here, or grow up here, are educated here, go off to college at our universities.
HUGE stands for Homegrown Undergrad and Graduate Education Credit. It would reduce a recent college graduate state income tax for a few years after graduation.
If you graduate from Western Michigan University and you stay and you get a job in the state of Michigan, you will pay no income tax in that first year after graduation.
Year two, the income tax will be 1%. Year three, 2%, and so on until the graduate gets up to the 4.25% income tax rate. Cleveland says his idea is just one of many that could help to keep young graduates in the state. He pitched the plan in an editorial in Crain's Detroit Business. Governor Whitmer has also made mention of it at a forum with MLive. No plea deals are on the table for the couple accused of the murder of Army Sergeant Tyrone Hassel III. His wife, Kamaya Hassel, and the alleged gunman, Jeremy Quayer, were both in court Monday. They're accused of using Snapchat to plan the killing, which happened New Year's Eve at the home of Sergeant Hassel's parents in St. Joseph Township. Defense attorneys for both and the Berrien County Prosecutor's Office have all told the judge they need more time to prepare their cases. That means the scheduled start date of the trial, April 30th, likely to be delayed. Attorneys say Kamaya Hassel and Quayar were having an affair. She came up with the idea to kill her husband to get insurance money rather than file for divorce. Here's something a little more uplifting. 2.5 years ago, you may remember, Jacob Beckley raised over $20,000 for Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago by rowing a rowboat solo across Lake Michigan from St. Joseph to Chicago. He said at the time he wouldn't do it again, but he's going to. He's going to team up with former Chicago Bears defensive back Charles Peanut Tillman for the effort. They'll both be rowing the same route in the same boat. Well, they're building the boat, not the same boat that Beckley used before. Now, Tillman telling the Chicago Tribune he's doing it despite being deathly afraid of water and having no experience rowing a boat, never having built anything like that before. Now, he's not necessarily afraid of water. Tillman can't swim. He's convinced there are sharks in every body of water. And he says he'd argue till you're blue in the face about that after watching Shark Week and seeing footage of a shark that could survive in fresh water. Aside from that, the pair are building their boat now in Downers Grove in suburban Chicago. They plan to make the journey across the lake from St. Joseph in August. They'll be raising money for childhood cancer research and to give financial help to families of kids with cancer. And as of right now, as of this recording, I'm scheduled to talk to Peanut Tillman about that effort on Monday morning. Michigan Department of Transportation has launched a new online dashboard to make information about the condition of bridges around the state known to the public. MDOT Deputy Chief Bridge Engineer Becky Curtis tells us the site includes data on more than 11,000 bridges.
We also then try to relate what those conditions mean as far as what type of work is required for that structure. And we show how the condition ratings reflect in the good, the fair, and the poor categories.
Berrien County has a handful of bridges rated as poor. Those include Hollywood Road over the Big Feather Drain, Lincoln Avenue over the Hickory Drain, and westbound I-94 at M-140.
A bridge that's in poor condition is a candidate that's meant for replacement or major rehabilitation. And so there's something with the bridge that in the near future should be addressed.
Curtis says when you drive over a bridge, you're only seeing a small part of its condition. The dashboard includes substructure and other stats. We do have a link to it at WSJM.com. Well, ground will be broken this weekend, Sunday afternoon, for a new First Church of God campus building and ministry center in Benton Heights. Lead pastor David Culp tells us they've outgrown the current facility. The new campus will be able to be used for volleyball and basketball leagues, after-school reading programs, community forums, and a lot more.
The sky's the limit as to what we can do. We don't want it to just be a space to do worship on a weekend. We want to wear the thing out all through the week. That's our goal. That's our vision.
The 9,000-square-foot building will be the first new construction in Benton Heights in some 30 years.
I mean, I don't want to exaggerate, but I would say probably since I was in high school, since the last new building was built in the Benton Heights itself area.
A new building going up next to the church's existing campus at 990 North Euclid. Culp says the goal is to have the facility done and open around Thanksgiving. Tuition going up for students at Lake Michigan College. The LMC Board of Trustees this week approved a 1.5% increase for in-district students. LMC President Trevor Kubatsky tells us the move is in response to increased operating costs.
We have standard inflation costs year to year that, you know, our costs just go up for power, energy, utilities, services. But then last year we added the Todd Center, which added another operational cost to the college. In May we'll open the one in Viticulture Center, which will open another operational cost.
Tuition going up 3% for out-of-district students, 5% for international students. Kubatsky says the increases for those who are in-district would amount to about $25 a year. Says Lake Michigan College remains less expensive to attend than other nearby community colleges and much less expensive than a four-year university. While Governor Whitmer is proposing a 3% increase in funding for community colleges in her budget, Kubatsky says LMC cannot count on that being approved. Lincoln Township Police welcoming a new canine officer. Chief Gary Soper tells us the department raised $30,000 in donations to obtain the 1-year-old female Belgian Malinois, who's been named Echo by local students. Echo arrived in the U.S. from Poland last week and is now in scent training in Eaton Rapids. She's expected to start with the department in mid-May.
We'll definitely go to the schools so that we can show the dog off at the schools, but her normal business will be, her disciplines are in patrol, drug detection, and tracking.
Soper says Echo is picked for more than 160 dogs. This will be Lincoln Township Police Department's first canine.
The officer handling Lincoln Township canine was the canine handler for New Buffalo Police Department prior to coming to Lincoln Township.
After scent training, Echo and her handler, Officer David Burrow, will go through another 5-week training program. Soper is thanking the community for its support, obtaining Echo. Baroda residents will be able to receive free smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms installed by the fire department this spring and summer. They're partnering with the Michigan Bureau of Fire Services, State Fire Marshal, and MI Prevention for the program. Public Information Officer Griffin Ott says a lot of people might not realize their current alarms are actually out of date.
Smoke detectors have a shelf life, and that's 10 years. And most homes have smoke detectors over 10 years old. So this is a great opportunity for residents to update their smoke detectors or smoke alarms and their carbon monoxide alarms, which also have a 7-year shelf life.
Firefighters will also do simple home safety assessment with residents after the devices are in place. A FEMA grant is paying for the initiative. All residents of the village of Baroda and Baroda Township need to do is just call the township office, answer a couple of questions to take part. You've got over 200 smoke alarms. The program will run out August 1st. Well, this year at Comerica Park, paper tickets are, as Ernie Harwell would have said, long gone. Comerica Park ticket manager Aubrey Topper says they're now accepting mobile tickets off of your cell phone.
You download the MLB Ballpark app on your phone, smartphone. You log in and you link your ticket account and you go to the wallet tab and pull your ticket right up, scan at the gate.
The Detroit Red Wings and Detroit Pistons have already switched to mobile ticketing as a way to eliminate the hassle of lost tickets or counterfeits. You can still get a paper ticket, but you've got to go to the box office to do that. And we close with a story that, this might get to you a little bit. It did me when I was doing the interview. I'll admit that. A St. Joseph girl turning a bit of a personal heartbreak last summer into something positive. 7-year-old Devin Whitney has a prosthetic right leg. She's missing some fingers on her left hand due to being born with a couple of conditions, one of them being fibular hemimelia. But she didn't feel like she was different from anybody else until last summer at the Krasnell Art Fair on the Bluff, according to her mom, Stephanie Watkins. Devin noticed for the first time people staring and whispering. She became upset. Her mom took her down to the Whirlpool Compass Fountain just to get away and recoup.
A couple days later, we were actually heading up to Mary Freebed for one of her usual six-month appointments. And she said, "Mommy, I don't want another kid to feel like I felt that day. So I want to raise money to help other kids to have more time to get to know people like me."
They decided to start selling rubber bracelets with Devin's Defenders on them for $5 each. That resulted in dropping off a check for $1,600 to Mary Freebed Rehabilitation Hospital in Grand Rapids on Thursday. When they got to the hospital, Watkins tells us they were greeted by hospital staff who said, "Oh, by the way, all three of the Grand Rapids TV stations are here and they want to talk to you as well." Devin herself had this to say about what happened.
"I didn't want other people to feel how I felt. So I said I wanted to raise money for people so they wouldn't feel like I did."
And the money is going to be used for more picnics and events for children at the hospital's Center for Limb Differences. The goal was a couple of $100. But, well, $1,600 is a lot more than that. Lakeshore Public School students as well at Roosevelt raised $600 for her during the polar vortex snow days. Bracelets are still available through the Facebook page of Devin's Defenders. We do have a link to that at WSJM.com. In the WSJM newsroom, I'm Michael Arney.